Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Investigation is continuing today following the fatal structure fire that took place at a condominium community in Blackman Township on Friday. Happened about 10:47 on January 9th. Officials with the Blackman-Leone Department of Public Safety responded to a reported structure fire at the 2700 block of Walden Woods Boulevard. Upon arrival, responding units observed light smoke visible from the exterior of the residence. Fire crews made entry and determined that a fire had occurred and destroyed much of the interior of the home. The residence was occupied by an elderly disabled female who lived alone. During a search of the home, crews located a deceased individual inside the residence. Investigators spoke with a 911 caller who reported that she is the home health care worker assigned to the residence. She advised that upon arriving at the home, she was unable to make contact with the occupant but observed smoke inside the residence and called 911. At this time, the identity of the deceased has not been confirmed by authorities, and pending further investigation, cause of the fire remains under investigation. More details can be found at WKHM.com. What do you do with a university that closes its doors?
Siena Heights University will graduate its last class of students in the spring as the college is slated to close its doors for good. According to a news release, university officials hired a consultant organization to help evaluate what they might do with the buildings. They'll interview community members in Adrian and around Lenawee County to see what might best fit the area. While the future of campus and buildings is unknown, many shuttered school buildings or churches have been turned into affordable housing like in Detroit. The reason for SHU's closure was attributed to the same shifting demographics that we've been seeing at many Michigan universities and across the country, declining enrollment and rising costs. Taylor Dietz for the Michigan News Network.
Thousands of Jackson County residents, especially in the Michigan Center area, experienced power outages on Friday in the midst of a wind advisory. Strong winds downed power lines in Michigan Center, prompting the outages and forcing Michigan Center schools to dismiss early. Brian Wheeler with Consumers Energy told WKHM that safety is top priority in these types of situations.
I think it's important to know that our first priority is always safety. We have some high winds that are causing issues, not just for poles and power lines. Of course, we're seeing trees, limbs, and branches that are coming down as well. So our focus first is to make sure we can make situations safe. And we want people to understand that if you see a downed power line, to stay at least 25 feet away and report it. And if you see crews working on the sides of the road, to take the time to slow down and be careful. We're working to assess the damage and make those situations safe, and then as much as we can to restore power quickly.
Wheeler thanked residents who have consumers for their patience on behalf of the company and encouraged them to check the outage map and sign up for outage alerts for future outage events.
We also appreciate the patience of our customers. We know it's not easy to be without power any time of day, any time of year, and so it's our priority to get the lights back on quickly today.
On his latest appearance on AM Jackson, U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg discussed the fallout and reaction to the fatal shooting of Renee Good in Minnesota. He said that lashing out at law enforcement and impeding federal officers is not a proper response.
If we break down our law enforcement, whether it's ICE or Customs and Border or whether it be our local sheriffs or police, we lose the safety and security that they bring to us. And so these orange-haired idiots that are out there who probably don't even know the issue of what we're talking about, and yet they're demonstrating and they're using vehicles to weaponize against law enforcement entities simply doing their job, whether you agree with the law or not. Until it isn't the law, they have to carry it out. So to attack them is idiotic.
Congressman Walberg also spoke on the recent operation that resulted in Maduro's capture, expressing his support of the action taken.
And this president finally said enough's enough. We've been indicting you since 2020 for your crimes. We've given you opportunity to leave the country and get out of sight, but you didn't choose that, so now we took you out. And it's amazing what our law enforcement enforcement capabilities were when they brought in the military clandestine forces of CIA, et cetera, and were able to get this guy and bring him to justice. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But my Democrat colleagues are having a hard time. They were calling for Maduro to be removed a number of years ago, and now guys like Schumer are leading the way and saying this was wrong, when in fact he wanted it done back in 2020.
Conversation also went to what the congressman dubs the Unaffordable Care Act, and the ongoing Republican effort to make changes to health care.
We're concerned about all 340 million, not just those 7 million. So there are better plans, and we started that by passing our bill, which was the Lower Health Care Premiums for All Americans Act. That we did in December. We now, in fact, this week we met on Tuesday talking about further plans and moving them forward and how we're going to do that. The Senate has that bill over now. Chuck Schumer can stand in the way. He can bat it down by requiring a 60-vote cloture requirement. I think we're finding ways around that filibuster, and it may come to the point of saying the filibuster will never work again. Let's get rid of it, because the Democrats will do that if they ever have the chance for a majority in the Senate again. They will do away with the filibuster. So I think the reality has to come. If we want to fight fire with fire, we fight.
Congressman Wahlberg joins us on AM Jackson Friday mornings. You can find our full conversation at WKHM.com. Martin Luther King Community Improvement Authority is hosting their annual Business Resource Fair today. With more on the story, WKHM's Luke Moorhead.
Fourth annual Jackson Business Resource Fair is happening at 5:30 p.m. on Monday at the MLK Center located on Adrian Street. MLK CIA board member John Willis said who would benefit the most from what the event has to offer on AM Jackson.
And it's a business resource fair. This is a wonderful opportunity. First of all, those who are either aspiring business people or existing business people that need resources, whether those are technical resources, whether those are financial resources, whether that's planning, implementing any of those resources, as well as an opportunity for institutions that can help and provide these services to be there and provide these opportunities for businesses. So we've got everyone from Flagstar Bank, Huntington, American One Credit Union, True Community Credit Union, Best Practices Consulting, which consults on businesses planning and development. We've got a lot of people coming in to provide opportunities for these businesses.
Michigan funeral director accused of embezzling nearly $200,000 is headed to trial.
Attorney General Dana Nessel says 72-year-old Terry Alvin Kaufman of Bad Axe waived his preliminary exam and is now bound over to circuit court. Prosecutors accuse Kaufman of running what they describe as a criminal enterprise, taking more than $192,000 from prepaid funeral contracts and insurance policies. Kaufman allegedly used money for his own salary. Officials say 55 people were affected. Kaufman is due back in court February 2nd. Jay Dennis for the Michigan News Network.
32-year-old Detroit man pleads guilty to an elaborate unemployment scam.
Nicholas Overton is heading to prison for running the scheme that defrauded the unemployment agencies in 20 different states. He pled guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. Overton made nearly 100 fake unemployment insurance claims, stealing and using the personal information from unsuspecting victims to do it. He received more than $500,000 in fraudulent payments. He's facing 4 years in prison for the identity theft and could get another 20 for the wire fraud. Overton's sentencing is in May. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Michigan State Police are educating truckers about human trafficking next week. Educational presentations will run around the country as part of Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Motor carrier investigator Chad Schmidt says there isn't just one group targeted in human trafficking.
Human trafficking doesn't necessarily have to be travel. Somebody doesn't need to have been taken away from their home. There's been instances where people are being trafficked out of their own homes. And again, age, it can be anywhere from children all the way up to senior citizens, possibly. There really is not a particular demographic.
Any suspected human trafficking should be reported to authorities. President Trump will be making a stop in Detroit this week. He's slated to speak on Tuesday afternoon at the Motor City Casino Soundboard Theater. The program will be available to members of the Detroit Economic Club and their guests. This will be his third visit with the Detroit Economic Club. Previous ones were in August of 2016 and October of 2024. We'll have more information on the visit as it becomes available. Beginning today, the Hudson's Detroit building downtown will become the General Motors Global Headquarters. The automaker will be the primary tenant at the development, which is on the site of the old J.L. Hudson department store. The site includes a 12-story office building with event and retail space. It also features a connected 45-floor hotel and residential tower, which opens next year. The move to Hudson's Detroit marks General Motors' return to Woodward Avenue near the company's first headquarters in the city. The 1.5 million square foot development that will feature offices, retail space, a rooftop bar, condominiums, and large event spaces. University of Michigan alum and current chancellor of Syracuse University in New York appears to be in line to be the next president of the University of Michigan. A presidential search committee has selected Kent Syverud to replace interim president Domenico Grasso, who took over for Santa Ono last May. The Michigan Board of Regents has scheduled a special meeting this afternoon to approve the move. Syverud had already announced that he would step down from his role at Syracuse at the end of the school year this spring. Lakes and rivers across the state are fully stocked with tons of fingerlings during the fall of 2025. The DNR reports they stocked 8.6 tons of fish at 76 locations throughout the state. That means over 648,000 more fish were added to this year's totals. Between spring and summer stockings, nearly 19.5 million fish were stocked in Michigan waters. In about 3 years, you may be able to board a train in Detroit that could take you all the way to Toronto. Plans by Amtrak and VIA Rail to create a new cross-border route are progressing, according to Peter Anastor, director of MDOT's Office of Rail, appearing on the Talking Michigan Transportation podcast. He said, idea is to use the existing rail tunnel under the Detroit River, which now carries only freight,
to basically utilize that tunnel for passenger rail services. So currently they only run, you know, freight services through that tunnel. So this would be, you know, additional trains that are going to run for passenger service.
Minister says the plan calls for building new stations, including a multimodal hub near Michigan Central Station in Detroit. Some of the funding for the project is coming from a $10 million grant, federal grant, and about $30 million in state funds. It's a big week as we prepare for the 2026 Detroit Auto Show.
The Auto Show officially opens with Friday's charity preview, but there are a variety of preview events during the week. The Global Mobility Forum will feature big-name speakers that include former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Senator Bernie Moreno, who's also a car dealer. Then there's also the High-End Gallery, where they sell supercars. Ford has a racing day at the train station, and on Wednesday morning, we learn the winners of North American Car, Truck, and Utility of the Year. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
After the auto show posted a slight sales increase for 2025, what does 2026 hold?
We could see a slight decline this year, says Ford analyst Eric Merkel, but nothing significant. He says the underlying fundamentals remain strong.
We think that the industry's on solid footing, and we'll continue to see a strong performance into 2026.
Now, Merkel does expect some wild swings month to month when you compare 2025 and 26. That's because last year, sales were volatile, impacted by changes in tariffs and EV policy. Jeff Gilbert, the Michigan News Network.
Jeff Gilbert, once again on the auto industry. Despite political bickering, financial education is a bipartisan issue.
30 states require personal finance instruction in high school, and that includes Michigan.
2019, there were only 9 states that had a requirement. We're hearing buzz about a potential 31st state, so within 5 years, we've moved to that fast, and Michigan is right in the early part of that movement, if you will, for this happening across the country, and we really do want to get to 50 states.
Billy Hensley is the president and CEO for the National Endowment for Financial Education, who conducted a survey and found 83% believe their state should require a semester or year-long course focused on personal finance as a graduation requirement. And 70% of the adults say they've never received financial education, but if they did, they believe their life would have been better off. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
The Upper and Lower Peninsula each have one of the most beautiful public buildings in the country.
A recent nationwide survey set out to find which of the easily overlooked public buildings in the country are the most beautiful. Both the Lenawee and Houghton County courthouses made it into the top 50. The Houghton building is 30th. Survey takers praised it for its rugged and beautiful presence. The Adrian Courthouse was named 29th for its warm, settled character. The Hot Springs National Park Administration Building in Arkansas and Wailuku Public Library in Hawaii took the top two spots.
That's Amanda Forrester reporting. Michigan State officials are preparing for the reopening of one of the university's most storied institutions.
The Michigan State University Museum is reopening to the public on Wednesday after nearly 2 years of renovations. Thanks to a multi-million dollar gift from the Forest Acres Trust, the museum now includes more flexible spaces that are redesigned to inspire creative thinking, climate control upgrades, modernized bathrooms, and much more. The opening exhibition is called Blurred Realities, which examines our uneasy relationship with fabricating online personas and how digital technologies are shaping the U.S. The official reopening is scheduled for Wednesday at 4 o'clock on MSU's campus. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Why do so many people quit exercising even when they know it's good for them?
A new University of Michigan study points to all-or-nothing thinking as a major barrier. Researchers found that when exercise plans feel too hard, take too long, or don't meet personal standards, people often abandon them altogether. The study involved adults ages 19 to 79 and is one of the first to closely examine how this mindset affects exercise habits, offering new insight into why sticking with fitness can be so difficult for so many. Jackie Page, the Michigan News Network.
It's Monday, and it's the 12th day of January. Today we celebrate International Kiss a Ginger Day, Feast of Fabulous Wild Men Day. But yeah, with those past two, you could just let your imagination go wild. It's Curried Chicken Day. It's Hot Tea Day. It's National Marzipan Day. All right, I'm going to be honest with you, full disclosure. I had to look this up, had no idea what it is. Sweet confection made from ground almonds and sugar, often with added ingredients like egg whites, almond extract. Apparently, the almonds don't like it when you get that extract. Or rose water. I don't think I've ever had this. I'll try anything once. Not saying, just saying. It's National Pharmacist Day. Hey, Mr. Brown, how you doing? Stick to your New Year's Resolution Day. It's Work Harder Day, and it's Glazed Donut Day. Well, if you're putting down a glazed donut, you're probably not sticking to one of your resolutions. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. On this date in 1932, Hattie W. Carraway became the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate. On this date in 1959, Berry Gordy borrowed $800 and he founded Motown Records with that money. It was on this date in 1971, All in the Family debuted on TV. It was on this date in 2003, Bee Gees singer Maurice Gibb passed away at the age of 53 during surgery for a long-standing abdominal disorder. It's on this date in 2005, NASA launched the spacecraft Deep Impact. On this date in 2012, former Ambassador of the United States, Charles H. Price II, passed away at the age of 80. It was on this date in 2017, Exorcist author William Peter Blatty. He died at the age of 89 in Bethesda, Maryland. It was on this date in 2022, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson admitted that he attended a bring-your-own-booze staff party in May of 2020 during the country's first lockdown. It was on this date in 2023, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed a special counsel to investigate President Joe Biden's handling of classified documents. Birthdays today include Isabella Day, 22, actress from Superstore. You have Rachel Harris is 58, actress, Lucifer, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Jeff Bezos has a birthday today. The founder of Amazon is 62 today. Smokin' Joe Frazier would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2011. Jack London, he wrote Call of the Wild. He passed away in 1916. He would have had a birthday today. Other birthdays today include Melanie Chrisholm. She's a Spice Girl. She's 52 today. You also have Keith Anderson, is 58, singer, I Still Miss You, picking Wild Flowers. Philippe Rose, one of the founding members of the Village People. He dressed up as the Native American to celebrate his heritage. He is 72 today. Ricky Van Shelton has a birthday today. I would have had a birthday. He has a birthday today. Country singer is 74.
I got the radio blasting. I got the windows rolled down. And I'm cruising these back roads on the outskirts of town. And I can feel the wind blowing. Hear the big engines whine. When I'm cruising these back roads, all my troubles are behind.
William Lee Golden, one of the members of the Oak Ridge Boys. He is 87 today. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
It was one of those days that I made for taking a ride. So I went downstairs, cleared my head with coffee and cigarettes. And when it hit me right there, then my mind was set.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
Well, if you are listening to this right now, it's possible. Because I know my friends over there, they're sweating it out hard at Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. This may be that 6 o'clock class, may be something that fits into your schedule. If not, they also have that 6 a.m. class Monday, Wednesday, Friday at Kettlebell Hotspot. It's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, balance, and mobility. It's unlike any exercise routine you've ever experienced before. So wherever you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online, kettlebellhotspot.com. Let's get to your sports. And we're going to start off a little bit of NFL action from over the weekend, as most of next weekend's matchups have been set already. In the NFL from yesterday, well, Saturday, it was the Rams beating the Panthers 34-31. Surprise, it was that close. Bears beating the Packers 31-27. Yesterday, the Bills beating the Jags 27-24. 49ers upset and beat the Eagles 23-19. Patriots got a win over the Chargers 16-3. I mean, for the most part, across the board, just great wild card weekend games. Close, thrilling, you know, wins being determined after the 2-minute warning. Just phenomenal weekend of wild card football. And we've got one more game left on that one, as Texans are at the Steelers tonight. That makes it an 8:15 broadcast on Monday Night Football this evening. So, for the most part, divisional rounds have been set up for next weekend. Saturday, kick time still to be determined. 49ers at Seahawks. Boy, a rematch from just a couple weeks ago. That's going to be a good one. And they're going to be, the 49ers are going to be without their star tight end, as Kittle has suffered a torn Achilles. I guess details on that one to be released as we head through the week. Bills at Broncos on Saturday. That kick time also to be determined. That's going to be a great matchup. The Patriots, they're going to have a home contest on Sunday. Don't know who it's going to be yet. Will it be the Texans? Will it be the Steelers? Oh, we'll find out tonight. And then also on Sunday, it's going to be the Rams at the Bears. That should be we're looking at fabulous contests just all across the board next weekend. Again, kick time still have to be determined. And then the weekend after that, we've got the championship round, and then Super Bowl on February 8th. Let's pivot real quick over to high school athletics taking part over the weekend. High school athletics, we're going to start off with boys basketball, and didn't have anything to report from boys basketball in the Big 8 from Friday, but today, Stockbridge at Leslie, that is a 7 o'clock tip time in boys basketball. From the Cascades, it was Hanover Horton beating Addison
on Friday, 85-59. It was Napoleon on top of East Jackson, 77-44. Manchester beating Grass Lake, 62-28. Jonesville squeaking by Columbia, 60-58. Michigan Center, Leslie contest. Michigan Center was a host school there. They sent everybody home because they didn't have power. So that one has been postponed, and they still have yet to make up date announced. Homer defeated Vandercook Lake, the game that you heard here on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM 92-65. Today, Cascades boys basketball, East Jackson's at BD. That's at 7 o'clock. Fowlerville at Grass Lake at 7. Stockbridge at Leslie at 7. And Addison at Napoleon, 7 o'clock in boys basketball. Interstate 8 boys basketball from the weekend saw Northwest defeating Marshall 70-59. We don't have Western or Northwest in action today out of the I-8. In the white, SEC White, nothing today scheduled. Over the weekend, it was Jackson beating Pinckney 53-34 on Friday. Now over to girls basketball. Back to the Big A. Girls basketball, Rose Springport beating Bronson 45-40. It was Concord on top of Stockbridge 46-25. Union City beat Reading 40-34. And Quincy got a win over Vermontville Maple Valley 42-14. Today in the Big A girls basketball, Vermontville Maple Valley at Battle Creek St. Philip. Athens at Concord. Bronson at Kalamazoo Christian. Battle Creek Penfield at Quincy, and Mendon at Union City. All tip times there. Big A girls basketball, 7 o'clock. Big A Cascades girls basketball from the weekend saw Columbia beating Jonesville on Friday, 80-44. 81-5, Homer over Vandy. And 56-15, Grass Lake beating Manchester. Today, girls basketball of the Cascades has Addison at Napoleon. That's a 4 o'clock tip time. And Clinton is at Michigan Center. Tip time there is at 7 o'clock. I-8 girls basketball saw Northwest falling to Marshall on Friday, 40-28. Today in the girls, it's Marshall at Olivet and Penfield at Quincy. We don't have any of our local teams involved in girls basketball in the I-8. In the white, SEC White, nothing scheduled for today, but Friday it was Pinckney defeating Jackson 35-26 for that final there. And SCAA East girls basketball on Friday saw Jackson Christian defeating Pittsford 38-28. Let's kind of put a bow on high school sports right now before we move on to college sports. For the first time since 2018, the boot is orange. Jackson United defeated crosstown rival Lumen 5-2 Friday night at the Optimist Ice Arena, snapping an 8-year drought in that rivalry. JU jumped out to a 2-0 lead, saw the Titans rally to tie it late in the third, then took control with a shorthanded goal just seconds later. Brennan Forward led the way with a hat trick and 4 points, including the game winner, power play goal, and an assist on an empty netter. JU also scored twice while shorthanded and killed all four Lumen Christie power plays. The win moves Jackson United to a 9-6 record. Marks it's actually 10-6 because they did end up winning on Saturday as well. So JU 10-6 and marks the fourth win in the last five games. Wrestling over the weekend, busy weekend around the area at the Clinton Invitational. Addison finished 7th at the Dave Elliott Memorial. Trevor Ohm placed 4th at 113. Caden Olsofsky finished runner-up at 126. Napoleon Invite, Dundee, won the team title, followed by Napoleon, Grass Lake, and Homer. Area champions include Aiden Johnson and Aiden Durham of Grass Lake, Alexander Du Bois of Homer, and multiple Napoleon winners, including Carson Warner, Xavier Skog, Peyton Dunlap, Brady Warner, and Corey Sutton. The Western Chaos Classic. Western finished 7th with individual titles from Eden Nguyen, Hunter Chebakowski of Western, Davian King of Michigan Center, and Dylan Boone of Columbia Central. Eden Nguyen of Jackson, by the way. Northwest went 3-2 at Rockford. And Jackson competed at Grand Ledge with four pins. And girls wrestling at Olivet, Concord, and Marshall each had fourth place finishes. Today in high school sports, you've got competitive cheer, Big 8 at Bronson at 6. Bowling, East Jackson takes on Homer at 3:30. Hanover Horton versus Addison at 3:30. Jackson takes on Celine at 3. And then in hockey, JU at Liggett, 5 o'clock today. All right, that's your sports as far as high school stuff goes. Jackson College from the weekend. The women are 10-6 so far in the season as the women got a win as they hosted Oakland Community College Saturday 100-64. Next up for the women, Wednesday, they are at Wayne County Community College 5:30 for the tip time for the women. Men still with two wins on the season as they fell 2-14. They fell to Oakland Community College on Saturday with a 90-72 final. They'll be the second game of the doubleheader Wednesday at Wayne County Community College, 7:30 for the tip time for the men. On to the ice of the National Hockey League from yesterday. It was the Jets beating the Devils 4-3, Bruins over the Penguins 1-0, Blue Jackets beat the Mammoth in overtime 3-2, Predators on top of the Capitals 3-2, and the Golden Knights on top of the Sharks 7-2. Wings are in action today as the Detroit Hockey Red Wings, they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. The Canes, -155, according to the experts who put together the sports books. Hurricanes are 12-6-2 when they are on the road. The Wings are 15-8-1 when they're at home. Well, we'll have that contest for you tonight. It's a 6:45 broadcast, 7 o'clock for the puck drop. Sergei Fedorov. Tonight, the Wings will be retiring his number 91 jersey. That is pretty much going to solidify his legacy as one of the best in franchise history, a key member of the Russian Five, three-time Stanley Cup winner. Fedorov's impact on Michigan sports, cemented by his 13-season tenure and his role in transforming the Wings into a modern dynasty. So Fedorov's 91 will be hanging from the Raptors from the rafters today. And we'll have that game for you again, Fox Sports. No, right here, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 F. Over his career, 400 goals and over 900 career games with the Wings. Again, three Stanley Cup champs for the for Fedorov. I think that's everything we've got for you with our sports today on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Sports, again, brought to you this time around by Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center.
Welcome to Kettlebell Hotspot.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:32, 28 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock, we head to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Senator Sue Shank. Senator, boy, Senator, it feels like it's been a year since we've had a conversation. How you doing?
Well, happy New Year.
Happy
it's
New Year.
It's getting late to say that, but great. I'm excited about our new year. I'm excited about the days getting longer.
For sure. I am definitely excited about the days getting longer. We've got session that's going to be, the legislature going to be back in session this week. But it's been a productive time off, it seems like. Not only did you get time for a little bit of R&R, but you also were off to a conference last week. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I went to New Orleans. It's no cost to the taxpayers. I need to make sure everybody realizes that. But I went to the State Agriculture and Rural Leaders Conference, and so there were agriculture chairs, members of agriculture boards, people involved in agriculture from across the whole country and Canada, and we talked about important issues. You know, some of them aren't exactly things that are Michigan-specific, but then a lot of them were, like rural mental health. Suicide is the highest cause of older white men's death in our rural areas in Michigan, including in Washtenaw County. And we also, and we talk about some of the things that we can do to support families. And one of the things that came up was farmland succession and making sure that families know how to pass the farm from one generation to the next, or if not to the next, you know, generation of the family, to someone outside the family, so that they don't have to farm until they pass. So it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I brought back ideas that I will be working with my colleagues to put into law or practice over the next couple of years. So I'm excited about that. Other things that we learned about were things like, you know, keeping the water clean. I actually got to talk to the people who work for John Deere about the changes they've made in a farmer's ability to repair their machine themselves. Mm-hmm. They've made huge strides. I'd actually introduced a bill called Right to Repair, and it hadn't gone anywhere, but now I'm going to go back and look and see. Maybe the problem is solved. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. So a lot of things from that we kind of have plan on having salt and peppered in throughout the next remaining part of your session. Okay. Sounds good. One of the things that we have been reporting on that has come from our state service has been a variety of different plans, proposals, or ideas for data centers. And it's the one in Saline Township seems to have come up quite a bit too. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's in your district, correct?
It is not.
Okay. It's not.
Senator Irwin represents that area.
Okay.
But I have been, you know, it's a big issue in every area at this point. And I have been engaged. I actually led an effort. We wrote a letter to the MPSC asking for a contested case hearing in that case because it is the biggest case. So I'll go back. The letter was signed by, it got almost 30 legislators, Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate. And just asking for a hearing that would be public with expert testimony and not a fast track. And MPSC came, and the Attorney General had been asking for that. Because the idea that the biggest energy usage increase in the history of Michigan, as much as two cities of Detroit, shouldn't be private. And the concern is that this huge jump in electricity, and over there in Jackson, you've got consumers. They've actually asked for a contested case hearing when they started getting into supplying hyperscale data centers. DTE asked for a private hearing, redacted their contracts, wouldn't let the Attorney General read them. We have some of the highest prices and the worst service in the country in the DTE service area. So it's a little different than consumers. But the idea is that these data centers, and we have data centers in Michigan, but they're smaller. They're kind of what we use when we use the cloud. But these data centers, they're hyperscale. They use a tremendous amount of electricity and a tremendous amount of water. And the legislature passed in 2025, or I guess it was in 2024, it became law in 2025, a bill that gave data centers coming in a sales and use tax exemption. And that was the catalyst that now has caused, I think, 11 to be proposed. And they create lots of jobs when they're being built, so that's awesome. They don't have a lot of jobs once they're up and running, but they do use a tremendous amount of electricity and tremendous amount of water. There are some guardrails in the legislation, not as many as they need. I voted against that legislation because I didn't think it had enough guardrails. And I don't know if anybody's unaware, people are angry about these giant hyperscale data centers coming into their neighborhoods, a lot of times kind of quietly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that conversation continues, and I introduced some legislation along with some colleagues to bring more accountability. I believe that if people know that there are guardrails, they aren't going to be as upset, and they're going to, you know, spend time doing other things they enjoy.
Right. Well, it feels like with the data centers that we're kind of back into that situation. You can pluck from a tree the different types of things that people want and people are going to use and the services that they're going to desire, yet they're not going to want that infrastructure in their backyard. And data centers is going to be kind of in that realm. But we're all going to be using it. I'm sure you've used AI at some point recently. I know over Christmas, I was making weird Christmas pictures with AI. Everybody's using AI. We're going to need the data centers, but nobody wants them in their backyard.
Well, sure. And like I said, there are already 50 data centers in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are more of what are doing. And I talked to a friend who works at Google about this. Those are the ones, those smaller ones are the ones that companies like Google use. Not to say Google wouldn't have a hyperscale data center, but some of what's going on in data centers are things people maybe don't care about. And I guess what I would say is there are lots of things that people use and they care about, but still when those industries are locating their buildings, and keep in mind, these are very big industrial-sized buildings. They take several hundred acres. Like, they can take 500 acres. They're going to be primarily locating in farming area.
Mm-hmm.
But near high voltage power lines. A lot of times these are communities that maybe haven't had access to all the government services that they've wanted over many, many years, and they're kind of plunking down. And my suggestion to those companies would be, do the groundwork, get to know the community, come in respectfully. Don't just plunk down and sue, like in Celine, the company sued to force the township to take them. Come in respectfully, and they will find a very different reception. There are a lot of big scale industries right now in rural areas, places again that haven't always had the governmental services that people might like, and then all of a sudden these big things are coming in. You got aggregate mining, you got utility scale solar, you got data centers, you've got these giant corporate manufacturing centers that can take 1,000 acres. So for people in rural communities that have been kind of left alone for many years,
mm-hmm.
it's a big deal. This isn't like getting new neighbors. This is a lot different. And so people need to be included in that conversation, and they haven't been in a way that's meaningful to them. And I would say, it's not my opinion. You can see, you right. go on Facebook and you see all the Facebook groups against data centers, and you see the protests. Like, that shows it's not respectful, and people need it to be respectful for it to work.
And there's a little hint of irony here. I mean, you're just at a conference discussing farmland, and here we are talking about data centers, and we're talking about and other stories. We're talking about solar farms all taking up good usable farmland at some point. So we got a little bit of irony we're throwing in here too.
Well, it does. And at that conference, we talked about not everybody wants. You know, it is a way for a farmer to sell out and get mm-hmm. value for their land. That's good. But not every family wants to do that, and it is actually becoming a risk factor in losing some of our best farmland. We talked about that, and so it is a concern, because at the end of the day, people need to eat 3 times a day, and farmers are the ones who grow our food, and especially with the, what I would call a degrading international situation, we need to make sure that we're growing our food at home.
Mm-hmm. We have Senator Sue Schenck joining us on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Well, let's talk about, again, we get these gifts from Lansing that just kind of, for our format here, just keep giving and gives us things to keep talking about. We're talking about the grant money, which was pulled back from appropriations. Then the Attorney General said, no, wait, here's my opinion. It's unconstitutional. That needs to go to said programs. And now you've got the Speaker in the House suing, so that money doesn't have to go out. We've got a little bit of a pickleball thing going back and forth here.
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about the Republicans on the House Appropriations Committee unilaterally stopped $642 million worth of funding, and that stuff go into, like, wigs for kids, fire trucks, community centers, and the Hayes Hotel, which has sat vacant for 20 years and would really be a huge, huge step to revitalizing downtown Jackson. And so they stopped it. And chair of appropriations in the Senate said, hey, Attorney General, can you give an opinion on that. That seems unconstitutional. And the Attorney General came back with an opinion saying that's unconstitutional. There's a process for making laws, and this didn't follow it. And so then the state departments that are disbursing the money are supposed to continue because Attorney General opinions are binding on the state. And so then there's that. But then Matt Hall, who's the House Speaker, and I'm assuming, but in our chamber, the leader would not file a lawsuit without full support. Without majority support in the Senate. I believe that's what happened in the House, but I'm not really sure. Filed a lawsuit saying, "Hey, stop!" So even after all that conversation about how important these projects were, even with communities crying out, "Hey, that's important," he's stopping the funding again, or he's trying to. So until there's until the court says, "Hey, stop disbursing the money," I believe the money can continue to go out. But that's a lot of uncertainty. And so, like for the Hayes Hotel, we have a situation where the developers need to bring in employees. They need to bring, construction workers. They need to buy materials. It's pretty scary. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to happen. We know water's coming in. We know it's freezing. That's something that's new that started happening this year. And if they don't fix it, there's going to be a lot more damage.
Oh, all right. Well, I know it's a little back and forth has to be. Confusing is one word. Probably frustrating would be another for it. But
the government needs to be stable, and right now in Michigan, because of, the House Speaker's got some pretty strong ideas about what he can do. He does a lot of things unilaterally. It's making things very chaotic, very difficult.
Well, I can understand where the motive is coming from. And like I said last week, I believe it was when I was talking with Representative Leitner, I can understand where it's coming from, and I can appreciate the desire to eliminate waste and fraud. I get that. But at the same time, I'm saying a promise is a promise. This money was promised, and even if it's a bad promise, it's still a promise. And you've got plenty of organizations and projects that were planned. I know there was a lot of bad things and fraud that was planned with that kind of fell through the cracks and got in with that planning too. But still, a promise is a promise. And funding like this, funding for some of the things that you mentioned, was promised to be there and just have it jerked back is, I don't know. It doesn't put a whole lot of trust in our government.
That's true. And, if you look, Northfield Township, which I also represent, working on a park project that's been going on for years. And the township very carefully planned the project out over 2 years. I think, again, you've got like a situation like Residents in Action where they're redeveloping an old building into a new purpose. That was planned out over years because construction projects take a lot of time. And it's very frustrating because we actually, like in the case of the fire truck, they actually ordered the fire truck. The fire truck's being made specifically for that community. And then that money gets pulled away. It's just a mess. Like, there's nothing else about it. And it's too, when I've gone through, I haven't gone through every project with a fine-tuned comb. Most of them are really like that. They're very public. There are things that communities needed that were difficult to get funded otherwise. And we have process. If there is fraud, if there is abuse, there are processes for withholding that money. And so let's follow those processes, because what the House has done is just thrown a wrench into progress in Michigan as opposed to solving a real problem. And so if there's a problem with a project, let's go after that organization. Let's stop that funding. We can do that together. We can do that by working together.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Just saying. Yeah. And so it's so frustrating because the relationship between the Senate and the House is being hurt every day by these actions, and it's making it hard to get good stuff done. And like, That's why I'm there. That's why so many of us are there.
Now, with that said, the plan moving forward is to have more testimony, to have more transparency on these types of projects, so we wouldn't have to go after them after the fact. We can try to head that off beforehand. And again, these are practices that I appreciate and kind of look forward to seeing the transparency on that. With that, you know, being said, out of the House side, can you appreciate those practices that will now be in place moving forward for this session in the House?
Yes, and so this is one of the things the House and Senate did together.
Okay.
We voted to do the same exact practice. And so we will have a website, we will have the hearings. And we had, in the Senate, we had already started to do some of those things, like to make it more transparent. So I'm all for transparency. I'm all for honesty. I'm all for good government. That is something we did together, and that's why it'll work.
Good deal. All right. Anything left untouched that we didn't talk about this morning? Senator Sue Schenck joining us here on AM Jackson. I know we're back in session on Wednesday. I don't feel like you have the agenda just yet, but some things will be coming up this week.
Yeah, I think it'll be a quiet week because we start at noon on Wednesday by the Constitution. So I think there's some, you know, I'm going to say unfinished business from last year that I'll be working on and trying to get done for our community and make sure that we get the work done that we need to for our community, which includes getting that land transfer for the landfill to have its reverse osmosis plant. So it's in the House, but I'll be advocating for that when I get back and just trying to spend as much time out in the community as possible.
All right. Very good. And of course, there's a lot of Martin Luther King celebrations coming up this week and next as well. So,
and I'll be as many of them as I can.
Right.
It's a busy, busy weekend.
For sure. All right. Senator, as always, we appreciate the visit. Good talking with you again, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you. Happy New Year. I hope you have a great week.
Same for you. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM ABC News Headlines.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 8:35 here at AM Jackson, News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the studio from the Cascades Humane Society. We have Michelle Kozegi with us today. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good Christmas, good New Year's, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely. Yep.
Good, good. Well, it's good to have you back here. And we understand that there's a big celebration coming up. And was it a couple weeks away already? Yeah, tell us about it.
Yep, it is our 74th birthday, and we are going to have a party.
Okay.
An open house for everyone to come in and attend, get a chance to see the animals. Uh-huh. We have a lot of intakes scheduled before that, so hopefully we'll have a full house for everyone to see. We're also going to have snacks and dessert table and activities for kids and prizes. It'll be a great time. Celebrate with us.
So again, that's the 23rd. What's the time of that?
4 to 6 p.m.
Should people just, should they RSVP ahead of time? Is it kind of a show and go kind of thing? How is it?
Yes, it's an open house. So anytime in between 4 to 6, come in and stop in.
Right. Now, you're a little bit off the beaten path. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
You're on Carmen Drive. How do our listeners find your location?
We're right off of Elm Street.
Okay.
We're right by the highway, by the
roundabouts?
The roundabouts.
The new roundabouts.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you go down Elm, if you're headed north going down Elm, we'll be right before the first one.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking, like, because there's three right there.
Right, yeah.
So I'm trying to visualize it as I'm driving. Or if you get right off the highway.
We used to give directions by landmarks. Now we give directions by roundabouts.
Roundabouts, yeah.
So how are things going at the Cascades Humane Society? Has it been a busy kind of winter season so far?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Around the holidays was very busy. Mm-hmm. It was nice. We had a lot of animals going through there and finding their forever homes. So.
Right. Okay. So what's it like there right now? Are you at capacity? Do you have a good population? What, I mean... if people are looking to add to their family, they need to come to the Cascades Humane Society, right?
Oh, yes. We have some wonderful pets right now.
Yeah.
That I'm totally in love with. If my husband would let me, I'd have a whole house full. But
you know, in animal welfare, it's always better to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
But that's what I did with my dog. Okay. I have now.
You already played that card.
He's not going to take that again.
All right. So tell us, what are some, or maybe one or two that just really has your heart right now, or that's been there longer than you, it's been there so long, you're kind of surprised it's been there that long.
We have actually don't have right now, we don't have a lot that have been there for a really long time.
Oh, that's
yes,
good.
We've
yeah.
been doing around the holidays and right before the holidays, they found their forever homes. We had one that was 6 months there.
Oh, wow.
And he got
that's
adopted.
A long time.
Yes, yes. We don't have any like that right now. Most of ours are kind of new.
Okay.
We have a couple dogs that have just... Mm-hmm. They're Snivels.
Snivels, the name. Snivel.
That's
okay.
his name. That's...
Okay. So I've never heard of that breed before. So it's Snivels, the name.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of dog is Snivels?
He's a mix.
Okay. Good American mutt.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But he is just so sweet and so calm, and he had surgery on his hip, and he's just so like. We can dress him up.
Oh, good. Okay.
If you
very
go on our Facebook,
right.
I have a picture of him with his pajamas on that he let us put him on. He's just...
Medium-sized dog, big dog?
Yeah,
let's see. Okay.
Medium. Uh-huh. Medium. Not a whole lot of small ones right now.
Okay. Yeah, the small ones come in, they go quick.
They do.
They do, yeah.
They do. And then there's another dog, and his name is Dioji.
I've always wanted to name a dog. That or George. I've always wanted to name a dog. Because, you know, you can love them and squeeze them and hold them and hug them and call them George, right?
Right.
I've never won that one. Just like you're not able to bring a second one home, I've never been able to win that one.
Yep. Mm. This dog came to us at like 6 years old, so that was his name. They named him D.O.G.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. You know, sometimes life just happens, and any one of a million things can happen, and all of a sudden you just don't have the capacity to keep that dog home anymore.
This situation was a little different. The the owners had him that whole time, and then had a baby, and was allergic. So it definitely
happens.
And he is a husky mix.
Okay.
And he's just gorgeous, sweet. We call him now our office pet, because he will go up front and just the whole time just.
Huskies have about as much personality as people do. I mean, there's a lot packed into that that bunch of fur with huskies. They do have a lot of personality.
There is, and he's not like I don't think like when you think typical husky, you think very active and very kind of got a calmer disposition too. Like I said, we keep him up front. He greets every guest.
Okay, and huskies like to talk. Is he a talker?
Not that I've heard, not a lot, but
all
maybe.
Right. Maybe.
I'm a cuddler, so.
Yeah, yeah. You dog person, then?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I've always been a dog person, but I've got cats, too. And I know the Cascades Humane Society, they have cats also.
Oh, we do. We have about 12 right now.
Uh-huh.
We have some sweethearts there as well.
Yeah. Is there one there that has your heart right now, or?
I like Thumper.
Tell me about Thumper.
He's an older...
I think we've talked about Thumper before. Maybe he's been there for a hot minute.
Maybe.
I remember, because I remember talking and having this like Bambi connection with Thumper.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, we just recently got in, going back to dogs, but we just recently got in five hound and lab mix.
Okay.
And they were all named deer names.
Okay.
Or hunting names. So so they had all these like, you know, Gunner and stuff like that. And then and then someone named them Bambi. One of them Bambi.
Okay.
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
But it was fun, you know, having.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love seeing about when I'm looking at some of the intakes from the Facebook page. You can tell the staff has a lot of fun coming up with names sometimes.
We do.
Get a little creative.
We do.
Yeah.
Kittens,
mm-hmm.
We recently had the Full House cast
of course
of kittens.
Of course you did.
So we had Michelle and DJ. Well, actually, that was puppies, Michelle and DJ. And another time we had iCarly cats.
Okay.
So we had Fred and Carly. And it is. It's fun.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun because, like, the medical staff name there is much different than...
Mm.
So sometimes we had a cat named Gauze.
Of course you did. Right.
So,
right.
You know, it is. It's fun.
Gauze, Scapel.
Yeah. They
the one that's named Hemostats, you might want to...
No, none of that.
All right. So you've got cats, you've got dogs. Tell me about the adoption process. If somebody sees something that they feel like would be a good fit for their family online, what should they do?
They would come in and they would fill out an application.
Mm-hmm.
We ask anyone that comes to look at the cats or dogs to fill out an application. And then once they do that, they can even spend some time with them. And we have different rooms and they can spend time. We have cat rooms and we have dog rooms and get to kind of know their personality, give them treats, play with them. And hopefully it's a match for them.
Right. Okay. A lot of what you do wouldn't be able to happen if it wasn't for the work and dedication of your volunteers. Tell me about volunteer opportunities that you have at the Cascade Humane Society, as we're talking with Michelle Kozecki from the Cascade Humane Society.
Yes, we have so many opportunities. We have some volunteers that just come in and help with laundry.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is a big deal. And I know you've got laundry to do at home, but I mean, multiply that by like 20, and that's the type of job that needs to get done. It's so important. It needs to get done.
Yes. So we have some volunteers that do that. We have volunteers that just come and socialize with the animals. We have volunteers that like to go take the dogs for walks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have something for everyone. We just had a volunteer come in that wants to help with marketing.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, for me, it is. But that's where her background is. And
okay.
She has love for the animals and wants to help get the name out there. And so
we'll
find a spot for you.
Okay. So someone's interested. If they've got that extra time, they've got the extra love, what do they do?
They can come right in to Cascades Humane Society and fill out an application. And then Haley Golightly handles all of that, and they find a fit for them. And
okay,
I think they end up taking like a class, like a small, like just get to know you kind of.
Right. A little bit of an orientation.
Right. Yep.
Do you have fostering opportunities?
We do.
Okay.
And we do have a few foster that will help, like if there's brand new puppies that need help with. We do have that as well. I'm not as familiar with that just because we haven't had a lot of those opportunities.
Okay.
That we've
needed. You can always walk in and inquire about it.
Oh, yes, definitely.
For sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What else is going on that I didn't ask you about that's happening at the Cascades Humane Society, Michelle?
Well, like I said, we have a lot of intake scheduled in the next couple weeks.
Right.
We're always excited about that. So we have a pretty big full house right now. So come look at them, and hopefully we'll be able to provide a home for many more animals soon.
The dogs need to be walked. The cats need to be played with. I mean, all that stuff needs to happen. You need that enrichment for all the animals because it's not really a natural setting for it, but it's the best way to keep them safe. As the best way to take care of them until they find their forever home. But it's not really a natural setting for them.
No. Mm-hmm. And I make sure to tell everyone that, like, you got to realize they're not used to bright lights and dogs barking. And
I know. I'm aware. Yeah. So, all right. Let's kind of wrap up where we started. Let's remind our listeners again, kind of give the elevator speech, what's happening coming up on the 23rd.
Okay. So we are having our 74th birthday party. It's just going to be an open house and a fun event for people to attend. You can bring your kids. We'll have activities for them. We're going to have raffle prizes. Going to have opportunities to see the animals. It'll just be a fun, event for everyone.
A lot of fun. Sponsors helping out with this too?
We do have some sponsors. Yep, we have some vendors and they'll be there. And most of them are, you know, vendors that help us throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Feed provides a lot of a lot of things for us, and they'll be there. And we have some pet groomers that have helped us with that. And so,
okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Michelle, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here today.
You too. Thanks for having me.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM at 9:37, 23 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. We've got Tyler McCrum.
McCrum.
Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So we've got Club Par that we're talking about today. What is Club Par?
So Club Par is basically like your full-service golf simulator. So we have one bay with a state-of-the-art simulator. We run a Foresight Falcon. And then in the back of the room, we have a full like lounge with a TV, couch, soundbar, everything you can imagine. We offer snacks, drinks too.
Okay.
So just like a full fun hangout spot to, you know, come in golf in the winter or summer if you don't want to golf indoors. And
so that one guy who takes 64,000 swings on the par three, you can go back in the lounge and kind of sit back, relax while he's going through his part of the course, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unlimited mulligans, you know.
So, but this is a little bit different from other type of places that offer simulation, right? Because you've got a different way to go about your sign up and registration, from what I understand. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
So we, unlike other sims, we do have some open hours for general public to come try it out, but we are full membership only. So we focus on our members being able to have unlimited access 24 hours a day whenever they want.
Okay.
So that way, instead of competing with, you know, everyone else in the general public who wants to come in or spending, you know, $50 for an hour, we charge one flat rate. You get unlimited golf for the whole month. It doesn't matter.
Okay. So it's kind of like, you know, what the Y does with their situation over here, or what some of the other fitness places do. You get a membership and you can go in.
Yep.
When was, because to me it sounds like this is like the V8 moment where you slap your head and you're like, why didn't we think of this sooner? I mean, when was that aha moment for you guys? When did that come about?
So me and my brother actually started this along with my father, and we were using a golf sim last winter, probably 3 days a week. And that was spending $300-$400 because you can't get good golf in without at least 2 hours in a sim. So most places in the area are, you know, charging $50 an hour. And we're like, if we do a membership, people can come in, use it unlimited, and you're saving ridiculous amounts of money. Most of our members now come in 2 to 3 times a week. And, you know, by the end of the month, that's 9 visits. That's $1,000. But you come with us and you spend $300 for a membership, and you get unlimited golf. I mean, you're saving $600-$700 right there.
So this is like a business model that hadn't been done in Jackson yet, right?
Yep.
Wow. So tell me about the simulation. Tell me about what is it about Club Par, Tyler, that sets you guys apart from some of the other sims? Besides the business model, what sets you guys apart?
As far as I know, we have the most high-tech simulator you can get on the market.
Okay.
For at least a private sim, without going full swing like what you see on like Tiger Woods' indoor full swing system.
You know, I've never been, so I don't know what that's like, no.
Basically, so we have our simulator, we have club tracking data.
Okay.
So you can see how your swing goes, your swing speeds, if your club face is open. So it really is truly like a great training tool if you're super serious, or if you want to have fun too and make sure all your shots are accurate, it shows.
Okay. So you don't get your buddies just kind of giving you a hard time in the cart. You're actually getting some instruction while you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. Do you golf? I'm assuming you do.
Yeah, I've been golfing for about 4 years now. I definitely wouldn't say I'm all that great. It's a hard sport, but
for sure, right?
I've seen some improvement over the last few months, at least going in and out of the sim.
So what? I guess you talked about the business model here, and who came up with the idea first? Because you said it was you, your dad, your brother. I mean, how did that... Take me around the campfire, around the bar, or whatever. How did that conversation come about?
So it actually started. My brother had the idea. He played in the Jackson Masters this year.
Okay,
and he came in last place.
Okay,
and he was like, "I need to figure something out. Like, we are spending so much money on going to the sim, and I need to train harder." Like, his ultimate goal isn't to necessarily win, but he wants to be competitive. So we were like, "Well, why don't we just build a sim?" He's like, I was like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay.
Maybe we can turn it into a business. He's like, yeah, but if we start the sim, how are we going to ever, keep up on using it? Because we get guys in there. And then the membership thing came about too.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, we have members, we limit it, and we can still use it. And then our members don't get pushed out either with having too much population in there.
Tyler from Club Par joining us here in the studio. What do people need to do to get signed up?
So all you need to do is go online to clubpar.com.
Okay.
You'll make a profile. It'll make you log in, put a little bit of information in. It's just name, email, phone number. Mm. And we have two membership options right now. We have a pro membership and an elite membership. The pro membership is $225 a month for the winner right now.
Okay.
And that's our lower level. That gives you can book up to one day before, and you don't get a free guest.
Okay.
Your guest costs $15. But if you go up to the elite membership, which is $279 a month right now, that gives you 2 days booking prior, so you get priority booking.
Okay.
And you can bring a free guest.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Can people, is it like a BYOB thing or?
Yep.
Okay.
So you can bring your own beer, bring your own food, whatever you want to do. And if you don't bring beer or anything else, we do have tons of drinks and snacks in there. We keep it stocked up for everybody.
Okay.
But yeah, we want everyone to have a good time. So you want to come drink, relax, swing the clubs a little bit, watch some TV,
sure.
Run it out for a game,
Wait for your buddy to use up all their mulligans.
Yep.
That's right. I'm assuming the number of courses you can choose from is pretty vast.
Yeah, right now we have around 50 courses, and
okay.
We have a ton of mini games.
What's a mini game?
So a lot of our guys like to come in, and we have like some close to the pin games.
Okay.
And the cool thing about that is it's not just you guys. So there's online tournaments that you just join. And it's people around the world that are using the Foresight software, and you can see how you stack up amongst the rest of the United States or even the world.
Okay. All right. What's your favorite? You got a favorite on there? Or?
Probably closest to the pin.
Okay.
My driver doesn't work very, very well. I'm sure most of these guys listening understand if they golf. It's always four right.
I love how you're awesome and how you're honest about your game. Okay. So closest to the pin, what's your favorite course? Do you have one that's...
Ooh.
That's, or at least a couple of your go-tos?
I don't know the exact course name, but it's a canyon course. So basically, it puts you, all of the holes are surrounded by big canyons. I think it's out in Arizona. It's beautiful to play.
Is that like the bumper lane bowling version of golf then, when you're surrounded by canyons? You're not going to go too far out in the rough?
Pretty much.
Okay.
it'll give you a good boost on your drive. You'll get a confidence boost when it bounces off a rock and you get an extra 100 yards. But
what's your favorite course here? You've been golfing for 4 years. Your brother was in the Masters, you said, right?
Yep.
Jackson Masters. So I'm assuming you guys go out in the summertime. You guys go out golfing quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
You got a local course that you guys like to hit more than others?
We've been dabbling. We really like the Grand. I still think Calderon's probably the best course in the area. It's just getting out there is extremely difficult because, they really blew up in the last few years. But I'd say the Grand or Calderon are probably my two favorites right now.
So it's you, your brother, and your dad. Who's got the better game?
Oh, my brother by far.
Okay.
Luckily, this year my dad's shoulder kind of took a swing downwards. We get a little boost on him now.
It happens when you get old. Stuff like that happens when you get old. All right. So Club Par, you guys have been operating for how long now?
Just about 3 or 4 months. We're right in the in-between stage of that.
Where are you guys located at?
We are located in Michigan Center. 710 Napoleon Road across from Tim's Market.
Okay. All right. So, again, if those are interested, can they at least book it for like an hour or two if they just want to try it out before they get the membership, or how's that work?
Yep. So we have a drop-in hour system where you can come book it for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, if you just want to test it out, you don't want to commit to anything. Or if you check us out on Facebook, you can always send us a message and ask for a quick hour sim rental, and gotcha. We'll get you in there, we'll show you how it works, and, you know, I'll sit in there with you personally and, you know, let you try it out.
Right. So all the ice is melted away. So we've got the guys who normally get together to go ice fishing. I'm sure they're sitting around somewhere going, hey man, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Hey, let's go golfing. Can they just get right in if it's open? Is that a thing where they can just get right in if they wanted to?
Yep. If the schedule's open and you see it on there and the hour's there, you can book it and you can walk right in, show up.
All right.
It's, you know, first come, first serve. There's no questions asked.
All right. Very good. What didn't I ask you, Tyler, from Club Park? What did I ask that our listeners need to know?
I think that if you are an avid golf sim user,
yeah,
you should know that this makes sense as far as, you know, if you want to be economically efficient, because if you go to a local sim in the area and you're spending $100 a day for 2 hours and you go three times a week, you're already spending $300.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to keep the pricing so that way our members not only save money, but we keep it at a high level where our members are coming in and respecting it too. So you always know you're coming into a clean sim, you're saving money, you get to golf. Like, I think
one of the newest sims in the area too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're brand new. You know, we're hardly broken yet.
Still has that new sim smell.
Yep. Still smells like fake grass in there.
Right. Right. Oh, it's kind of like a buffet too. The more trips you make, the better it is for you. You know, that's how you make your money.
Exactly.
Or save your money, I should say. Is the more you use it, the more efficient it is for you.
Yep. So,
All right. Well, very good. Tyler, as always, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for coming in and telling us about Club Pro, or Club Par. Again, one more time, the website. How do they sign up?
So you go online to www.clubpar.com, and it's pretty straightforward from there. We have two boxes to click. It'll take you right to our booking site. You make a profile, choose what you'd like, and go from there.
Nice, clean, crisp, easy to understand website too. Very cool. All right. Tyler, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. It's 9:49, 11 minutes in front of 10 o'clock.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.